Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and we're glad you joined us today. On today's show, Tim Street from the Ohio High School Athletic Association joins us to talk about new state laws and potential rule changes for high school athletics ahead of the new school year. Tyler Danberg from our flagship station, 97.1 FM, WBNS in Columbus, helps us unpack why LeBron James chose the Philadelphia 76ers over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And also from the fan, morning man, and fellow native Clevelander, Tyvis Powell, tries to explain to me why Deshaun Watson is the likely starting quarterback this year for the Cleveland Browns. All that plus our Locked On regulars have all the balls up next on the Ohio News Network. On July 7th, Governor Mike DeWine signed a new state law that now allows Ohio public school students to play sports at neighboring schools if their own school does not offer that specific sport. Tim Street from the Ohio High School Athletic Association joins us now to explain how that will be implemented, as well as some other changes that are coming for the upcoming school year. That actually is weeks away. Why was this law necessary, Tim?
Yeah, Jay, it's been an interesting summer with that development. A couple interesting things about this change. Number one, our member schools voted on that exact proposal three times here recently, and our member schools voted no. And this is an example where despite our schools making their voice heard on a topic and voting no on that very proposal, we are now looking at it actually being permitted because of a state law. And this has happened before several times over the years. It's something that the OHSAA and our member schools are forced to deal with, and we will. And we've already sent out instructions and communications to our member schools on what this new state law means. It's now a part of the Ohio Revised Code. And essentially, if a student attends a school now that does not have a particular sport that the student wants to play, they can essentially, we'll use the word petition, they can seek to play that sport at a neighboring school district. There are a couple of parameters in place, the biggest one being it does require the blessing and the signature of the superintendents of both schools. And in some cases, we're aware superintendents will not approve that. They've already voted on that once that they didn't like it, but it'll happen in some cases now, but not in every case. The one specific example that I'll mention where it will be permitted is those situations of a multi-high school district. So, for example, sure, Let's take Dublin that has three high schools, and let's say one of their high schools does not have a sport, let's say ice hockey. Those students at that school can seek to play ice hockey at another school that does have ice hockey.
But it's limited to high school, correct? This is not for middle schoolers.
Correct. Absolutely. This is just 9 through 12. It does not apply to middle school.
All right. Now, there's some other specific new rules for other sports, too. The one I'm fascinated with is the double first base option for boys baseball. What's that about?
Well, we've seen it in softball now for a number of years. It is a standard operating procedure in softball to have a double first base. And, we kind of expected this may trickle over to baseball at some point, and it is now an option for states to add a double first base. Essentially, it is an additional first base right beside the one that the defensive player has to be connected with. It does certainly eliminate some of the collisions and the contact that sometimes we see between the base runner and the fielder. Just creates a bigger landing pad for the batter running down the first baseline. It essentially just creates more space. It does open up that area when the baseball is being thrown to the base. Could be from the catcher on a bunt or a pitcher on a bunt, that type of play. So, you know, it has been fine at the softball level, and so I bet a number of states will adopt it in baseball as well. It is not officially adopted in Ohio yet, but that definitely will be a point of discussion with our staff and our board, and certainly the Ohio Baseball Coaches Association.
The other one that caught my attention was the tiebreaker extra inning option, where you put a runner on second base to conclude the game with a half inning format. How does that work? That seems like T-ball rules.
Well, that will also be a big topic of discussion here, not officially adopted in Ohio yet. But, you know, we've seen how that has played out in Major League Baseball, which I never thought Major League Baseball would change with extra innings. You put a runner on second base. Again, I thought, as you said, is this Little League out there? But no, it's not. You know, and I think it has overall, it's been successful at the Major League Baseball level, where we, you know, you every once in a while you'll see a game go 17, 18, 19 innings. And just how that can derail a team for a number of days or even a week or so, especially the team that's on the road. So I think that eventually was in some way going to trickle down to college and then high school. And so I think that in the lacrosse rules changes as well. I think all those will be good discussion points with our staff and the coaches associations. We meet with them on a regular basis, and so we'll see how it goes. But definitely things change, don't they? I mean, things we thought would never get changed sometimes do.
Now, baseball isn't the only one that's facing changes. What is coming to girls softball, and what is coming to track and field?
Well, the big one in softball is the continued addition of electronic communication between the dugout and the catcher and pitcher, which we've seen at the Major League Baseball level for a number of years. Certainly now it is permitted and it is used, where a coach will be able to speak into a little microphone and the catcher and the pitcher have an earpiece and essentially can hear the pitch call. You know, certainly in a number of schools, the catcher still makes that decision, puts down a one or a two or three, and the pitcher sees it, and then that's how the two know what pitch to throw. But, you know, it also works with a coach speaking into a microphone, and the catcher and pitcher hear it, and we know we're throwing a rise ball here. We know we're throwing a curveball here. So that's a big one in softball. It's interesting, and just from seeing my son play travel baseball in the summer, there are a lot of non-school teams that have already used that type of communication for a number of years. So there's a lot of players that are used to that already, and so that will be a change for our member schools. And in track and field, a couple rule changes just based on safety. There continue to be several injuries every year that happen, ironically, during warm-ups for the throws. We're talking shot put and discus. And in the warm-up time period before an event starts, there's a lot of times when athletes are warming up, throwing their devices at different places around the venue. And you can see why that can lead to some injuries, where they're not looking and another participant isn't aware that they're going to warm up in that area. So now the officials and the coaches are all aware, for shot and disc, the only place you can warm up is in your what they call a sector. And everyone knows this is the area where we're throwing the shot, we're throwing the disc. Make sure you're not walking through there. And so hopefully that cuts down on injuries that happen during warm-up.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of things to discuss and more to come with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And also, we should mention condolences on the loss of longtime member Tom Bryan, who spent the better part of four decades as a high school athletic director at both Hawken and Gilmore in Northeast Ohio. All right. We want to thank Tim Street from the Ohio High School Athletic Association for being with us today. And there's more Ohio Sports Magazine around the diamond when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
I'm John.
Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Joining us now on Ohio Sports Magazine is Tyler Danberg from our flagship station. LeBron James is now a 76er and he'll never be a Cav again. Maybe.
So you're saying there's a chance, Jay?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if he signs a one-day contract to retire as a Cav. It wouldn't surprise me if Kevin Love does the same thing. But for the Cleveland fan base, this was a gut punch.
Absolutely. Heartbreaking.
And it was more than that, though, Tyler. It was an indictment of the Cleveland Cavaliers as a basketball organization. He basically said, they're not good enough.
Well, LeBron James, we know that he likes a story. He likes a narrative. And maybe the most surprising part out of all this, when he had the chance to come back home and finish things in a storybook fashion with Cleveland, he had the chance to do a similar thing with Miami. He made the basketball decision. He made the basketball decision to join the 76ers team that is probably the best out of all the different scenarios, destination to win a championship. LeBron's done it all. He's the all-time leading scorer. He has the longest NBA career. If he plays three more seasons, which I know his deal right now is for two with the player option, he has the chance to be the oldest active player in the history of the game. But you know what he also would be able to do if he goes to a team that he's never played before? He can be the first player in NBA history to win a title with four different teams, and that's part of the thing that he's chasing.
Well, and that's a good point. And, you know, obviously the Philadelphia 76ers have not been atop the leaderboard, you know, that deep into the playoffs since the Julius Irving days. But you think about who is on their team and the acquisition of Jaylen Brown from Boston. They have built themselves a core starting five that is very solid, but they don't have the bench to back it up. Whereas Cleveland may have some issues with its starters because, quite frankly, and Tyvis Powell said this on The Big Picture just the other day, we're still waiting for Evan Mobley to become a star. We're still waiting for Jared Allen to be consistent. Donovan Mitchell, we know what to expect as long as he's healthy. James Harden, I don't know what to say because James Harden in the regular season doesn't seem to be James Harden in the postseason. But we have the deeper bench. That's why I'm not exactly clear, other than to your point, four different teams get a title.
And for 42-year-old LeBron James, you would think a deeper bench would mean less minutes that he would have to assume. I think a deeper bench gives him a little bit more comfort in not having to play 40 minutes a night. And well, that's a big thing.
It is a big deal. And that's also my concern with James Harden, is that we don't need to run him 36 minutes a game. He's the kind of guy that should play the second and third quarter and then sit down. And I'm not a basketball coach, but that makes sense to me because I'm still smarting over the New York Knicks loss. I'm still smarting over Why didn't you put Dean Wade in, who's the better defender, and sit Harden down? All your players are telling you as the coach this, and you're not listening. What's the problem? So going back to LeBron James, we have such an emotional tie to this guy as Clevelanders. We love him as one of our own. He's an Akron native. He brought us our first championship in NBA history in 2016. But we really wanted the story to end in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
Why was that not a factor? Because in the interim, since he's made his decision, it became clear that Cleveland wasn't even a choice, that the two teams were Philadelphia and Golden State. We were not even in the mix. Neither was Miami.
And that's so interesting because from what ESPN's Brian Windhorst reported earlier this week, there were three different things that steered LeBron away from Cleveland. I thought one of the interesting things that was reported was Darius Garland being traded in the James Harden deal. I thought that was really interesting, but obviously LeBron wanted to play with Garland. He wanted to play with a guard who had a profile similar to the man they call DG. But it I think that's what makes it more painful, Jay, is that if the Cavaliers weren't the number two option, if they weren't the runner-up in these sweepstakes, then what does that say about LeBron's feelings towards Cleveland?
It says that he believed that we needed to blow up the entire team and rebuild it around him. And bringing an old-timer like Kyrie Irving back and trying to relive the glory days of 10 years ago makes no sense.
Well, you go back to when LeBron came back in 2014. The Cavaliers had, and David Griffin, GM at the time, they had to do a lot to make sure LeBron was able to get back, including dealing away the number one pick of their draft just 2 weeks prior to making that move, and Andrew Wiggins. They had to do a lot. They had to bring in Kevin Love. There were certain things that they had to tightrope and do to make sure LeBron came back.
Well, he's not, and we have to accept that, and we wish LeBron all the best, but I'd still like to see him retire as a Cav. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you, Jay.
More Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the court when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
It's a busy intersection in your neighborhood. Drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians all moving with their own destinations in mind. Think of the roadway like an ecosystem. Every move affects someone else. And whether you're behind the wheel, on two wheels, or on foot, the road is full of signs, signals, and people telling you what's ahead. When we anticipate what's happening around us, when we're predictable, when we share the space, everything is safer. There's space for all of us. Breathe the road, Ohio. Brought to you by the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Getting a speeding ticket can ruin your day. But what about that cyclist? Or the pedestrian crossing the street? If you hit them while speeding, you'll do more than just ruin their days. That's why tickets are more than just a fine. They're a second chance. A reminder of what's on the line when you're behind the wheel. You won't get a do-over every time. So take this as your sign to follow the speed limit every drive. Speeding slows you down. Paid for by NHTSA.
And now, Public Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Jeff Wensing.
With the new school year just around the corner, now is the time to start getting your family back into a good sleep routine so your kids will be ready to learn when they head back to class in just a few short weeks. We're all looking forward to a great school year ahead, and we can't wait to see your kids back in our classrooms with us.
Public Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association.
The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Joining us now on Ohio Sports Magazine is Tyvis Powell from our flagship station. And Deshaun Watson may be the starter this year for the Browns. How insane is that?
You know, it's just it just tells you where we are as Cleveland Browns. You know, the thing is that I think Shador...
Is that where the sound effect comes in?
I think that what it is, honestly, is that the Browns are essentially blaming a lot of stuff on Kevin Stefanski. That's kind of how I look at it, because they think that Deshaun Watson is a talented quarterback, and they just think that him and Kevin Stefanski's offense didn't kind of fit Deshaun's play style. So they look at it as this is a last opportunity. They're paying him roughly $50 million this year. They're like, well, let's see. Let's give him one last opportunity to go out there and see if he still got it, if changing the offensive coordinator or the offensive play call is really the difference. And I think we'll find out. But
you played professional football.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not who he was.
No, it's the when you deal with a shoulder injury and then you hear reports about his arm is tired, and then when you watched him last, he really didn't push the ball down the field like he used to. Then you're coming off of two Achilles injuries where the mobility might be questioned a little bit. Yeah, you kind of think that it's not going to be there. But I think that the Browns, due to the fact that they're paying him, they want to give him one opportunity. And obviously he came into camp. It was a couple of videos that they posted online where he looked pretty good throwing the ball. He threw some nice passes. But I don't know. It's just history tells us that if you're with the Browns, they've been starting 3 to 4 quarterbacks every year for the past 3 years.
You could throw the ball that well.
Probably. I am a man of many talents.
Yes,
I am a man of many talents. But it will be interesting to see how this camp battle goes out. I fully expect that, you know, Shador Sanders be right there. And the rule is this. If Deshaun and Shador Sanders are about the same, you go with the younger guy because you have him longer. That's always been the rule. I don't think they should break that for any reason.
So what about the third guy?
Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, what about Dylan?
I mean, Dylan Gabriel, to me, I think that you were drafting him to be a backup quarterback.
Okay.
I thought while he was in there, I think he kind of got a raw deal. I think the one thing about Dylan Gabriel is he's exactly what a coach wants for a backup. It's a guy that understands the playbook, understands where to go with the football, and he can get you through a game if need be. But I don't think he's a franchise guy.
No, he's the guy you bring in on a 4th-and-1 situation and then you get the first down.
Well, I don't know. He's not tall like that.
No,
usually
but,
you want
but
that
he's
guy to
sneaky.
Be. He could probably get up under some guys.
That's exactly what I'm saying. He's sneaky.
Dylan Gabriel, to me, I see him as a backup quarterback. I really do. I think if they had to make a decision, obviously you would want Deshaun to be the eye guy out, unless he just goes to camp this week and these few weeks and just is unbelievable. And I mean, he has to be head and shoulders above Shador Sanders for them to be comfortable with making him the starter.
So given your experience of going into camp,
yeah,
after looking back on the last 2 years, mm-hmm, and all of the failures, mm-hmm, and yeah, there were injuries and there were mitigating circumstances,
yep,
but he was the promised land and the promise didn't deliver. As a player, mm-hmm, how do you feel about seeing him under the center?
Not great as a player, because you've seen what it looks like already. You've seen that song and dance before. And, you know, the thing about it is, I feel like when you listen to all the reports, I wasn't at the practices to be there in the film rooms. But from all accounts, they say that Kevin was kind of babying Deshaun. You know, you'll see, they'll pull up the film. You'll see a guy make a mistake. Kevin will yell at that guy, but Deshaun is messing up and he doesn't say too much to Deshaun. And it's like, how
well,
you
guys? that because he's the golden goose?
Right. So now when you have that type of feeling towards somebody and you know that that quarterback hasn't been, he hasn't played well here, he's been hurt a lot, and you haven't really seen it a lot of times, yeah, you're not feeling really great as a player. Like, you got a lot of faith in this guy, unless I'm in camp this year and it's just like unbelievable. He's every day, he's just dialing it up. Then I'll change my mind. But the thing is, you can't really make that decision with him until you see him in game. Because in practice, you, it's a certain way. In game,
it's a whole different
where you
world.
Got, where you got a chance to be sacked and hit, does he still perform well? Is he still able to catch the speed of the game? You know, this is a guy who hasn't played in 2 years. Like, that's that thing, the stuff like that matters. So it's one of those things, again, I don't think they're going to make a decision until at least after the first preseason game.
I'm going to look into my Eastern European heritage crystal ball, and for some reason, I'm seeing him get hurt in the first 3 games of the season, and that's the end of that.
If that's the case, which is probably on par, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't wish injury on anybody, but history does show that he does get hurt a lot, and if that's the case, then you find out what you have in Shedeur Sanders. But I do believe, I want Shedeur Sanders to be the starting quarterback to begin the season, but for some odd reason, in my gut feeling, I feel like they're going to make Deshaun start it, and I think he starts 3 to 4 games, and then they move on to Shedeur.
Well, we'll see what happens. I want to invite you to come back after camp so we can look at what things look like in Berea.
I would love to.
Tyvis Powell, always a pleasure. More Ohio Sports Magazine on the other side of the grid when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're tracking the chance of seeing some isolated showers throughout the rest of your Sunday morning, but a better chance for scattered showers coming later Sunday afternoon. Partly sunny skies today, highs right around the low 80s, lows right around 66 degrees tonight. But for Monday morning, partly sunny, highs in the mid to low 80s. It's going to feel quite nice out there for your Monday. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
A lot of hosts. This is ONN.
We're under 30 days until the start of the 2026 college football season. Ohio State will host Ball State Saturday, September 5th at 12:30. The Big Ten Conference held their football media conference earlier this week in Chicago. Big Ten's won the last 3 national championships in the sport and is one of 2 conferences that hold the most power, along with the Southeastern Conference. Last week in Tampa, the SEC held their media conferences, and Commissioner Greg Sankey discussed their 16-team conference leaving the National Collegiate Athletic Association in favor of self-governance. Paul Feinbaum covers college football for ESPN. He joined Beau Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus. Paul says NCAA secession talks are just that. All bark, no bite.
Nobody wants self-governance right now. You see these idiotic things that happen, like the NCAA suspending the Tennessee player for a $450 airline ticket for 2 games. Nobody wants that. So the SEC is not going to march off and actually hire somebody to manage themselves. Considering it came out last week, do you have a $20.5 million roster, as the House settlement said, or do you have a 30 or 40, as rumored? Lane Kiffin's team essentially said we have a $50 million roster. So who is going to manage that? I'll spare you the Senate TikTok right now going on with the Save the World Act. But ultimately, it's not happening. And the biggest thing that got to me was the bravado down there. Coaches still, they're all bashing the 9-game SEC schedule, even though they wanted it. They feel like the Big Ten hoodwinked them. And then finally, on the final day, here comes Nick Saban. Yes, he's still around, telling Mike Greenberg that the SEC is still the best conference in college football.
Meantime, you have Tony Petitti standing there on Tuesday with the 3 national championships. One of the things I think Sankey's been really good at through the years is developing consensus amongst his constituents. Were there some issues that you felt there was an SEC consensus on that they could kind of get behind and still maybe have the power to ramrod home, whether it was size of the playoff, et cetera?
No. No, absolutely not. I mean, his own coaches are against him on the 9-game schedule. Not that that matters anymore, because it's about to happen. But even a lot of people are now defending the SEC based on the 9-game schedule, even though it's not, it doesn't happen until this year. So there's a lot of chaos there. One thing in media days, you only get the coaches and players. Mm-hmm. You don't get the administrator. That's where Sankey, that's his room. The coaches have never really, I mean, they all praise him. That's just like standard operating procedure. It's like Washington and depending on whatever political movement you subscribe to. But it's so chaotic. And the playoffs, I mean, I think more coaches are now in favor of the 24. The problem is, Bo, when you get coaches up there for endless number period of time, they're going to say, obviously it came down to Kiffin. He went 20 minutes, as you know. He was determined not to make any news. And I'll give the guy credit. I mean, since that Vanity Fair article, he has not said a word. And I don't think he's going to until September.
Yeah, I was curious. And then you had the lawsuit with Ole Miss and suing the former Ole Miss players at LSU, which happened this week. It's never a dull day down there. In terms of, you mentioned you're talking to coaches. Let's do on-the-field stuff. Was there a coach that you talked to down there, and as you talk to folks around the league, that maybe has a little bit of a cat ate the canary feeling, that maybe they're better than people think they are? Was there any sense you had of any of the programs down there that maybe they believe they're a little better than maybe the rest of us think they are?
I think Oklahoma, nobody believed it, though. That was the problem. I walked in there on Monday, and the buzz about Oklahoma was rampant. By Thursday, they were voted seventh in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So Mike Elko, not a well known, I mean, he could walk down the main street in Columbus. Nobody would know who he was. Yeah. He was really confident privately about his team. He's got the quarterback back. He's got a number of other key components back. But what you heard continually, no matter how good their teams are, they say, yeah, but we got to play this SEC schedule. We litigated that last year with Alabama. The only guy that didn't really defend his schedule was Kalen DeBoer, because I'm still a week and a day later trying to figure out what in the world he talked about up on the podium.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, he's in such a strange spot in what I assume is a massive year for them. And then at the top of this, you mentioned Kiffin, obviously, and he was able to navigate 20 minutes without making any headlines. Meantime, now Pete Golding is at Ole Miss, and we're doing 20 most interesting programs today, and we got Ole Miss on the docket. We'll do them in the final hour of the program. What do you make now that you've got 6 months of separation on all of that? Kiffin inevitably at LSU and everything that comes with that, the $50 million roster, all that juxtaposed to Ole Miss, which, may have one of their best teams ever, a playoff team that won games and returning quarterback and probably going to start in the top 10 in the country. Pete Golding up to this?
I don't know. He met the room the other day. I mean, Pete Golding's like, let's say Ryan Day decides to meet, you and, four or five other influence makers in the back room of a steakhouse for some bourbon and meat. And he's okay, off the record. That was Pete Golding in front of the cameras last week. I mean, I just don't think he knows any different. You got to love this guy, but I have to question whether he really is up for it. There's just no evidence. Last year was an aberration. He gets the job. He gets credit. He did something Kiffin never done. He won two playoff games. First of all, he beat Tulane in the playoff. There are 40 high school coaches in Columbus Metro who could have been on the Ole Miss sidelines and beaten Tulane that day. Okay, it took no skill whatsoever with Trinidad Chambliss. The game against Georgia, I'll give them that. That's a huge win. But the new narrative on Ole Miss is they came within one play of playing for the national championship. Oh, okay, great. That's not going to win games. They open it against Louisville neutral site. I mean, that's a losable game if things go wrong. Shouldn't be. And then, of course, LSU and they got a really tricky schedule.
They do.
As LSU does. So, I don't know. Everywhere you turned up there, you looked at the schedule. Some had it much easier than others. Oklahoma's schedule is just absolutely obnoxious, having to go to Ann Arbor the second week of the season. The Texas game, what was interesting, too, is a year ago, we talked about one game for 4 days, this year, the Ohio State-Texas game rarely got mentioned at Media Days.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
The Buckeye Show.
All I want to do is watch baseball go far. Like, at the end of the day, I want baseball go far. Just like I like to watch fast cars go vroom vroom.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan.
Peach. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
This is ONN.
Ross Bjork, Director of Athletics at Ohio State. The announcement of the agreement with J.P. Morgan Chase. Ross, how did this all originate?
We want to be cutting edge. We want to be innovative. We've talked about this, how we have to grow revenue. We have to adapt to the changing landscape of college athletics. You know, as we sit here today, it changes really by the hour. We want to be on the cutting edge of that. So about a year and a half ago, we started testing the market, knowing that a potential rule change would be made where you could have a corporate logo on the jersey separate from your apparel partner like we do with Nike. So we want to be thoughtful. We want to be strategic. We wanted to make sure we captured the right value for Ohio State. And we wanted to do it in a tasteful way. So we tested the market, honed in on 2 to 3 potential partners. Over the last 120 days or so, J.P. Morgan Chase sort of rose to the top that they were willing to meet our sort of financial data points that we were worth this amount. It's the right partner. They're a global brand, but what's really unique about them is they have a Columbus presence with 18,000 employees here. So it just became kind of a perfect match all the way around between brand value, financial value, and it's the right partner that's going to, you know, just do a lot of things for our athletes, for the fans, and of course for the program.
While we're getting ready to get close to football season, significance that this involves, Ross, all 36 sports?
All 36 sports. You know, we went out to market and we tested it. Should we only do 4 sports? Should we maybe do 8 sports? You know, what was going to yield, you know, from a market standpoint? And J.P. Morgan Chase from the beginning said, we want all 36 sports. If we're going to do this, we want to support female athletes just like we do the football players. So it really became a comprehensive all 36 sports. So it's going to be really cool to see, how does the swimming team, is it on the cap? We're still working on some of these details. You know, our fencing uniforms are really unique. You know, our swimming and diving programs, our artistic swimming. So it's going to be cool to see where exactly is the Chase logo going to be on each uniform. You know, those details are going to be exciting to work out.
How was this to work through all of the university administration?
It's massive here at Ohio State. There's a lot of layers to it. So, you know, you start with, you know, the president's office, the board of trustees. You know, a deal of this magnitude has to have their awareness, you know, their foresight. They need to have alignment on how we view things from a value standpoint, but also the right kind of partner. So going through this process over the last 3 to 4 months, you know, there's a lot of alignment that's created, a lot of visibility that's created, and we landed in the right spot. So just, you know, tons of credit to all the leadership on campus for supporting us in this endeavor.
Ross, you mentioned student athletes. Important that there's an educational component, especially with a company like J.P. Morgan Chase.
Especially given the NIL landscape where athletes have money in their pocket. Well, what do they do with that money? How do they open a checking account? Do they need to look at an investment account, right, for long-term, you know, financial stability? How do they make sure they file their taxes? So all of that's a component of this from a leadership standpoint, education standpoint, that they're going to be equipped with tools. And then you throw in the power of J.P. Morgan Chase, where they are a global financial leader. They're going to bring so many resources to bear to educate our athletes that I think our athletes are going to, you know, really be blown away with all the resources that are going to come, you know, that they can use.
Ross, is this just something that's another part of the ever-changing world of college athletics?
It's definitely new, right? I made the comment when I first got here that, look, we have to put everything on the table. This was one of those elements that, again, some people may not like it. But, again, if it's tasteful, it fits the right brand. And then, look, we have to pay for all this. And because you don't know exactly what the roadmap is, you don't know exactly what roster values and NIL landscapes are going to look like in the future, I know one thing we can control is create new partners and drive new revenue. So that's what we're working on.
Knowing what the answer to this is, important, Ross, that is also combined with the history and tradition of Ohio State Athletics.
There's no question. Look, people, tradition, the excellence of what we do, we're going to protect those at all times. And so, again, having somebody like Chase, who has been in Ohio for 150 years. Different acquisitions, different names of companies. We had City National Bank, owned by the McCoy family. They're longtime Buckeye supporters. So the history here is, you know, unlike any other place. So we have to lean into that, and I think Chase understands that.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
The ON Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
It's a busy intersection in your neighborhood. Drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians all moving with their own destinations in mind. Think of the roadway like an ecosystem. Every move affects someone else. And whether you're behind the wheel, on two wheels, or on foot, the road is full of signs, signals, and people telling you what's ahead. When we anticipate what's happening around us, when we're predictable, when we share the space, everything is safer. There's space for all of us. Read the road, Ohio. Brought to you by the Ohio Department of Transportation.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys discuss LeBron James going to the 76ers and how the lack of offseason moves by the Cavaliers might have played a role in him not choosing Cleveland.
Did they always have a bunch of options? No. But I think the way to look at it, he mentioned the name Evan Mobley. This is a double and triple down on Evan Mobley. They weren't willing to give him up for Jaylen Brown or get involved in anything else that may have been pie in the sky. So you hear these Anthony Davis things, and then it resurfaces 2 days before the decision's made. Right? But the Cavs decided to stick with Evan Mobley, and they got beat on other fronts. The Sixers went and got Jaylen Brown. Shocked everybody. It ended up being the bridge piece that they got.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
On the Fan,
Bishop and Friends.
Your comedic timing on the zinger to Saban.
I thought we could smile a little bit, laugh a little bit. If the timing was right and coach is there, we could maybe get a smile out.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Tyvus Powell and Tyler Danberg from our flagship station, 97.1 The Fan, WBNS-FM in Columbus, and Tim Street for joining us on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine. And of course, we thank you for listening. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Paul Keels, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.